last time we met, Judy told us about how it works and how to use it. And it, big I, God, the power of God in our lives. And so today it is my job to introduce you to spiritual mind treatment and give you an overview. Now, in the weeks to come, we'll be getting into the different aspects of spiritual treatment, the five steps, which Connie outlined in her prayer this morning so wonderfully, and thank you for doing that. I didn't ask, but that was great that you did it. So today I'm going to talk about the different types of prayer. And in there are actually two different types of prayer. One is the prayer of supplication, which is what you hear in many of your traditional churches, like, you know, and Christian churches. And this is, a lot of times what happens is that they think that this is God. They're looking at God as being something out there. In religious science, we practice affirmative prayer for spiritual mind treatment, and we believe that it starts within us and comes out. You know, the prayer of supplication is a prayer that you're praying to some. I think of it as when I went to church, I always thought, Heavenly Father, you know, up in the sky someplace, this big, you know, giant of a man sitting on this big throne that heard our prayer, and he would bestow our wishes to us and everything, and with
please
go, give me what I want. Yes. Please, God, give me what I want. Thank you, Pina, for your...
Lord, I am not worthy, but give it to me.
Yes. Anybody else?
I am but a worm.
Oh. Anybody else?
Through my fault,
those
previous
fault. Yes. Ooh. I know that I am not worthy. Mm-hmm. But please. In religious science, we don't think that way at all. We think that we have everything we need within us. And what affirmative prayer does is it gets us in touch with that. With that God within. Judy talked last time about how God was within us. So what we want to do is we want to get within to that feeling place of God. It's not necessarily our words that bring us anything, that bring us the answers to our prayer. It's the feelings. It's the feelings behind the words. It's the intention behind the words. Now, within religious science, though, there are two different types of prayer. One is, as I said before, the affirmative prayer, and then there is the argumentative prayer. We don't pay too much attention to that anymore. And the only time that you would ever use that prayer, that type of prayer, is if you were embedded in something that you really had to talk yourself out of. Can one of the practitioners give me an example of it?
Well, let's say somebody told me I had cancer.
Yeah.
And I needed to get from the mental place of, I just got told I have cancer, I needed to argue my way out of cancer into perfect health. Right?
Yep.
Okay.
And it usually starts with a denial. No, this is not me. I am not cancer.
Right.
This is not who I am. I am God expressed in perfect health. So you start arguing about the truth that you know and the truth that appears to be.
Right.
So you argue yourself about that. And I have to tell you, Denny, that I don't know about you, but sometimes I do a lot of arguing.
Well, I think we all do.
Because, I mean, when we are in this circumstance, I mean, you just want to get me out of here, period. And it's because we know better, the feeling is inside our, I think, our spirits that says, this pain, this uncomfortable feeling says, this is not who I am. Then we start from there. That's what I believe in the argument. I don't know if I'm telling the truth about this, but I mean,
sounds good to me.
Me too.
So I just argue and I say, no, this is not how it is. This is not how it really is. Mm-hmm. And you argue yourself away from it.
I remember a story in Anatomy of Healing Prayer where Ernest Holmes says, I got caught up in the appearance, and he said, I had to get myself totally away. And he said, I went off by myself and spent 12 hours arguing myself back into the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so he acknowledged that he would fall into that doubt and disconnection sometimes too, but that he knew how to get out of it, and that he would use logic based on what he knew to continually remind himself, I am not cancer, God is not cancer, or I am not poverty, God is not poverty. There is, lack is not the truth, lack is the appearance, the truth is abundant. And he would mm-hmm. talk himself back into the truth of the situation. And in Science of Mind, we distinguish between facts and truth. Truth as a capital T, and as the universal principle that always exists. The fact may indicate a pattern of thought about lack that has manifested, but that is not, the manifestation of lack is not the truth. The truth is always abundance. And so you're arguing yourself back into the truth of abundance and mm-hmm. wholeness and health and energy and life.
Great. Anybody else have anything to add to that? And by the way, I don't think of this as my talk. This is our talk. This is a learning process, and I'm just here to lead the discussion. And I love this kind of interaction. So feel free to jump in. Anybody else? Done.
A short one. The natural state of the body wants to default to health, and that. When we're born, we have everything we need. We already know how to breathe, even. My main path is Raja Yoga, and we pay a lot of attention to the breath, which is about 80% of the importance in yoga. And the breath, when you watch a baby breathe, you know, when we're first born, we have to scream for everything. And that's what babies do. They're all torso with little arms and legs. Mm-hmm. And they breathe like this accordion, just really vehement, forceful breath to express themselves. And that is the perfect being, the baby when it's born. If the baby's health is reasonably good, that's the perfect state. We gradually learn how to layer upon ourselves artificial things that tend to press that or suppress or repress. But the natural state is the abundance and health.
Wonderful. That's great to have another view from a Raja Yoga. Well, what goes into giving a treatment? First, you have to believe that you can give a treatment. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I don't feel like I can do it. And I go back and I start writing out my treatments again. And also, I spend a lot of time in prayer and meditation. That's how we flex our spiritual muscle, is when we commune with God on a daily basis in our spiritual practices. And in Science of Mind, we use three, and the meditation, affirmation, and prayer, affirmative prayer. And that's, you begin doing all of those things, and you, what that is designed to do is to give you a deeper awareness of God. An awareness of God and creator or source or whatever you want to call it. Some people call it Bob. I'm reading The Shack right now. And anybody reading the book The Shack? And the woman calls him Papa. And I like the idea of Papa. That's kind of neat. So,
Mom, I have a friend who calls God Mom.
Yeah, Mom. Right. So whatever you want to call it, that's how we flex our spiritual muscle, and that's how we gain our spiritual muscle, is through practicing those things. the next ingredient that comes into giving a treatment and to is our faith. Our faith that our words are powerful, and that anything that we pray for, that it's already there, and that our words can move mountains. And that's exactly what prayer is about. Is we want to move the mountain of doubt, remove the mountain of doubt from our consciousness, and we want to get a greater awareness and consciousness of the Christ within us that does all of this stuff, that takes care of us, that sustains us, and that will give us anything that our hearts desire, as long as it does not hurt another person or yourself, because God does not hurt himself. And God will not ever tell you to do anything that will cause you to hurt yourself or to hurt anyone else. If you're getting those kinds of messages when you're in prayer and meditation, seek out a practitioner very quickly, and we will guide you to the next step.
Dennis, could you explain the word treatment? It's a little odd.
Yeah, treatment. Treatment is what Ernest Holmes termed affirmative prayer. And what it is that you're treating yourself. You're performing a scientific, formalized process on yourself for another person. So when, say for instance, you were to come for me for prosperity, Loretta, and I was treating for you for prosperity, I don't treat you, I treat myself for you. I treat my own consciousness. Because there is only one mind, and we're all thinking in it. So what I'm thinking or what you're thinking is in my mind too. 9 times out of 10, if you'll come to me for a treatment, the same thing that you have need of, I do too. And vice versa. Also, when we do treatment, am I getting it right?
Yeah, it's treating your mind about the limiting pattern that you absorb
right.
from your culture, your family, or
right.
your teachers, or whatever.
Race consciousness.
So you're shifting, the intention is to shift the pattern of thought
right.
in mind, and that's what you treat about. And so it's a cure, in effect, for negative thinking.
Right.
It's moving toward the truth rather than
right.
the facts.
Right.
Actually, Dennis, can I have a good example of that, I think?
Okay.
I remember when Kate was really ill, and we would do one-minute miracles after our meetings here. And so I was doing the one-minute miracles that day, and Kate came over and asked me to pray for her. And after we were done, she said, "You don't see me as sick." And that was, to me, that was like, that's how prayer works, is that I'm working on my own mind to see her as whole, perfect, and complete. And by the time you're done, normally they can feel it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I've worked on myself to the point where I can see that essence of her that is always whole, complete, and full of life, and that's her natural state. But it took the treatment to get there.
Right. Anybody else?
I always think that when we forget the truth, we're a little bit cuckoo. Okay. So, because we forget, we go into the irrational thinking. Okay. And the treatment is something to become rational. Okay. Remember who you are. Remember that everything you want is already here and is already yours. So everything that goes out there, I mean, that doesn't go with the truth, is irrational. So that's what it's called. In the beginning, I used to struggle with the treatment because I always thought about medical treatment. You know what I mean?
Right.
And guess what? It is a medical treatment.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same. It's the same process that the Christian Scientists use, and they will consider it. They consider it treatment as well. And it's just to know that God is greater than any appearance that you could have.
that's shift from
right.
From where you are to what you really, really are. And that's always very comforting.
Yeah.
Can I interject?
Go ahead. Just
interject. Sure. Holmes got a lot of influence from Christian Science.
Absolutely.
Mentors, Mary Baker Eddy, and a gentleman whose name slips my mind.
Phineas P. Quimby? Or?
Yes, yes.
And one of the ways Ernest said it was, there is nothing to be disintegrated or reintegrated, only a wholeness to be revealed that has always been there. Mm-hmm. And so when we treat our minds, we're not facing the condition and trying to change it. We are moving beyond the condition to the wholeness, mm-hmm. and amplifying the wholeness. Mm-hmm. So we're resonating with the core energy of the person that has always been God, will always be God, and can never be changed.
Right. And we do that through faith. The faith in knowing that we can do it. Mm-hmm. That we can move mountains. And we practice it. You know, every day. I mean, It's I can't express enough, and I know in my own self that I don't always do this. I don't always keep up with my spiritual practice the way I should. But I know that, and then what happens is I wait when something big is going on, then I start doing the treatments and anything and everything. But the most important thing is to me is that we keep our spiritual, it's like working out every day. We work our spiritual muscle. And when something big comes, we can just look at it and go, eh, I'm sorry, I ain't buying this. And we don't get drawn into it. I remembered when we were coming out today, I remembered a story about a famous pianist, and I can't remember his name or anything, who was just known for his ability to not only play, but in his mechanical ability and everything, but the interpretation, he was just a phenomenal pianist. And all at once he found himself in his life, he was getting a terrible reviews, and they said, oh, his playing was so sloppy, and yeah, you know, and he just couldn't figure out what it was. So finally one day he just started playing the scales. And every day he would go in and practice his scales. Every day. And the next thing you know, he was back on top. He was back in his game. But he had to go back to what? To the beginning, to the basics. He had just sort of lost sight of the basics. So that's what we have to do, too. We have to just keep ourselves in check with our meditation, our affirmations, are positive affirmations, and our prayer. Anyway, there. I wanted to go briefly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we're going to be going it more and more next week, in the coming weeks. But I want to give you the 5 steps to spiritual mind treatment, or I'm going to call it affirmative prayer from now on. And that is, the first one is recognition. Recognizing that there is only God. Unification. I am one with God. All that God is, I am. Realization. Am I going too fast?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
He has a handout that has spelled out.
Huh?
You have that handout if you
want to
give it out.
Oh. Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Brilliantly written, I might
add. Huh?
Oh.
That went right over my head. Which is not hard. Okay, the next one is realization. All that God has, I have. The next is thanksgiving. I give thanks that I have received this and more. And then release. We release our word into the law, into the mind of God, knowing that that it's done. And we release and we don't even think about it anymore, because we've already given it to God, so it's done. That's another thing to remember about spiritual mind treatment, is that once you give a treatment is always complete. The healing has taken place. Now you might have to keep going back and forth and repeating the treatment over and over again, but that it doesn't matter. When you give that treatment, no matter if it's the 100th time, it's complete.
Well, one of the things about repeating a treatment, you know, it's been said that once you stretch a rubber band, it never really goes back to where
right.
the original state. So each time we do a treatment, in his own mind, he's already at a space. And so he's coming from a space of more and more clarity every time that treatment is redone. So I am treating for, you know, my favorite one is prosperity. And so I know that I and God are one. However, at the time I used that treatment, it was perfectly fine. After a while, I lost that feeling of oneness. And so I keep redoing it. But every time I redo it, I feel stronger. It's the same spiritual muscle that mm-hmm. constantly is built. So I feel stronger, I feel more clear, and I feel more aligned that my good is here right now. So it's a wonderful thing to be repeating, and don't beat up on yourselves or ourselves for repeating a treatment or for not getting it clear and clearer or right or whatever it is. Just be free and easy and know that our kingdom is here right now, like it's stated in the brochure.
And we might have thought the lackful thought 100 times a day for 30 years. And sometimes in doing one treatment, you really get it, that thought wasn't true and you let it go. But sometimes it takes a little more to convince yourself the truth about that subject that you practiced in another direction for a long way. And the way I think about it is that prayer creates new ruts in our brains that take us where we want to go rather than the ruts we may have developed that take us to the places we don't want to go anymore. So as we do the process of treatment, I don't feel like I ever repeat a treatment exactly the way I did it before, because the treatment the last time changed my consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I do the treatment today is different than the one that I did about that subject mm-hmm. yesterday. And I continue to expand my awareness of the beauty of God expressing as that particular aspect of life, however it appears to me each day. And I continue to evolve my consciousness through the process of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to add to that I would like to make a warning here. Because with treatment, once you really treat your mind, you start changing yourself. See, you never come back to the same person you were. And the more you do it, that's when you really are starting to get it. And then, I mean, even if you go through life, you can see the change in yourself. Things that used to freak you, I mean, panic you like this, I mean, become more calm, and you know where it is, you do the treatment again, and it really modifies the way we are. So, I mean, I really find it as I begin new sanity. It's pretty amazing. Sometimes even if you forget, you know that there is something not really right, but you're thinking, because now we call it reminiscent, I mean, a different vibration, in a different space, in a different kind of thing. So if you continue doing it, you will never be the same person. So I just want to warn you, okay?
Also, you know, it just goes to show you that Gail was talking about prosperity, but you probably, at another point in your life, was just as feeling as much of a lack of prosperity, but then you found prosperity, but yet you find yourself in the same position again. And it just goes to show you that I want to really stress this, that life is a spiral up. She may have had prosperity issues 10 years ago, but she's at a different consciousness now. So it's God's way, I think, or it's the way that the law works, that we get the same things over and over again a lot of times to work on. It could be relationships, it could be whatever. But no matter, when we practice our spiritual practices and we've been doing it for a while, yeah, we might get the same things over and over again, but they're always different. It's another little tweak on the radio, the consciousness, the mind, the way that, you know what I'm saying? Do you get it? So it's not always the same. It's different.
The way I explain it is that you have the subject come around again when you're growing.
Right.
Because if you move from this level of consciousness to this level of consciousness, all of the thoughts that you had at this level of consciousness need to be brought up to the new level of consciousness.
Right.
So whatever subjects come around again, this, the raising of the consciousness you did from this level to this level is no longer accurate. So the thought about prosperity that felt good here doesn't feel good when you come up to here. So you need to address that issue again and bring your consciousness up to the new frequency. And so when that subject comes around again, we have a tendency to beat ourselves up and say, oh, I've been here before.
Yeah.
When in fact, it's actually a measure of our increased frequency, that what felt good before doesn't feel good anymore, and we need to do that work again to expand our awareness of just how beautiful life can be and just how this is already heaven on earth. And if we're not living in that consciousness of, I live in heaven on earth, all my needs are supplied, and we raise our vibration, we have to bring ourselves back into that knowing with thoughts that are supportive at this frequency.
Mm. Well, I'm glad that we are talking about me, because you were psychic. Really and literally, 10 years ago, I was in a perfectly different place. It was, my story was, why me? You know, all I did was to take my kids from one country to another, bring them to America, and here I am having to express all the credit cards and, you know, everything else. But this time, obviously, 1 year later, before that 10 years, I actually got into this philosophy, and now it's 9 years now, and it's, I see a difference in my consciousness. It's now not why me, but God is my source. And if God is my source, and I truly believe that God is all there is, and I am part of it, then God and I are one, and, you know, there is a way. There is an answer to my needs. So, you know, I am absolutely in a different place, in a different consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Besides, this is the way it's supposed to be. If God continues to expand for all eternity, and we are part of God, we're expanding. So that we revisit the same issues again. There's about only five. Relationships, money, health. They're the same. So we revisit because we're expanding, and that is going to be there forever. So it's just a matter of accepting it. Oh, funny. Now we're going into prosperity again, or health issues or something.
Or God wants me to, gosh, God, I'm not prosperous enough. Okay. You know, gosh, God, you know, you mean I need a bigger house? Okay. You know, that's the kind of attitude that you...
I know when you say, okay.
Okay. God, I'm happy at this level. I'm happy right here where I'm at right now. But you want me to go even higher? All right. I can,
you know,
do that.
Scientists say that the universe is physically expanding. So is there a relationship there?
Of course. look at my waist. Of course. Are you kidding? It's all the law. It's the natural And you picked up on it. It's all the same thing.
Okay. Uh-huh.
It's all the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Can I offer something? Several of us are musicians here. A brief musical example. If I want a primitive sound on a flute, this can be done with many other instruments, but if I want a primitive sound, I'll concentrate just on the very low, basic, fundamental vibration. Now, if I want to bring in more spirit, I have to call upon higher partials within that same sound. I'm influencing the air to break up a little bit. Now, within that same sound, if I keep the fingering the same on this flute, I can get those higher partials by changing my embouchure or changing my mouth. All those notes that I played were with the same fingering.
Wow.
And by influencing the fundamental sound, I can bring in higher vibrations, which are associated with higher spiritual vibrations. Mm-hmm. And there has always been a consciousness with mystics that these higher vibrations can be made audible on a psychic level as well as on a physical level.
They do that with the om and a lot of the chanting of one of the...
Yes. The overtone singing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which sends me into another world.
Right, but it's the same thing that prayer does, is it lifts us to a new level.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's analogous to changing the embouchure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's another instrument. Treatment is another instrument.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
That's an analogy.
Very nice.
Thank you, John.
I thank all of you.
Wow. So I'm going to start summing up, but I do want to remind everybody of the three P's. Reverend Hillary, this is for you. The three P's in spiritual treatment is personal. Keep it personal. Use words and thoughts that have meaning for you. Connie gives a wonderful and beautiful flowery treatment, and I love her treatments. They're like it's like a painting for me. It's like I can just see all the colors and everything in it and everything. At the Celebration Center, we have this gentleman by the name of Duke Height, you'll go to him and he'll say, "I know that God is all there is for Dennis, and that everything he needs is right there, right now, and I give thanks, and so it is. Amen." And he's right there. His treatments are short, sweet, and not emotional, anything. We were talking about that on the way out. It's like, but you get it. You get it. So everybody, keep it personal. Use words and words that have meaning to you when you're treating yourself and for somebody else, especially when you're treating for somebody else. The next one is positive. Keep the treatment positive. Use positive statements of truth. I am whole, perfect, and complete. I know for Judy that she is whole, perfect, and complete in every way, and that she is expressing the divinity that she is, and that divinity is expressing through her in positive, powerful, and irresistible ways.
Ooh, yeah.
And keep it present. The treatment is now. I know right this very moment, I know now that Judy is whole, perfect, and complete in every way. So, I think I've given you a good basic understanding of treatment. The next time we meet, I don't know who's going to be on. Pita is going to be talking about recognition.
I'm sorry, Dennis, may I interrupt a moment? You said three P's, personal, positive,
and present.
Thank you. Sorry.
Keep it in the present tense.
Thank you.
And I have a question. Can you do your inverting of the five steps?
Yeah, I like that.
Sure. Treatment in 11 words, five steps. God is, I am, it is, thanks, over and out.
I've got an even shorter one for you.
Okay.
Oh, hell, I'm well. Oh, this is hell. We don't believe in hell. I'm well. There's no such thing as hell.
That's a good one.
Rita McGinnis, one of my first teachers, taught us that. Also, I was thinking today about Noel McGinnis, who, when I was first starting out in their basement years ago, we would do this little ditty called God lives within me as me, God in me as me is. God lives within me as me, God in me as me is. Everybody, God is within me as me, God in me as me is. Anyway. Yeah, it's just sort of patted into place. So anyway, I think right now we're going to, it's time for a little break. It's 12:05, so if you can be back here at about 12:15, and we'll have a little meditation and then some more discussion. And John's wonderful music.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.